And hello, everybody. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J right here on radio.dominican.edu. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And today we are going to be playing music from Motley Crue. They are one of my most favorite bands, if not my most favorite band. And today I am hoping that I will be able to play songs such as Home Sweet Home, Kickstart My Heart, Girls, 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 and a whole bunch of your other favorites. Okay, to kick stuff off, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about their history. All right. The band started in 1981 in Los Angeles, California. The group was founded by bass guitarist Nikki Sixx and drummer Tommy Lee, who were later joined by lead guitarist Mick Mars and lead singer Vince Neil. Motley Crue has sold more than 80 million albums worldwide, including 25 million in the U.S. The band members have often been noted for their hard living lifestyles and the persona they maintained. All members have had numerous brushes with the law, spent time in jail, suffered from alcoholism, long addictions to drugs such as cocaine and heroin, and have had countless escapades with women, and each of them are heavily tattooed. Their ninth studio album, Saints of Los Angeles, was released on June 24, 2008, and they are currently writing new material for their next album. All right. So, as I was saying, the band formed in 1981. Their early years, 1981 to 1983. Here we go. Motley Crue was formed on January 17, 1981, when bass guitarist Nikki Sixx left the band London and began rehearsing with drummer Tommy Lee and vocalist slash guitarist Greg Leon. Lee had worked previously with Leon in a band called Sweet 19, and the trio practiced together for some time, with Leon eventually deciding not to continue, unfortunately. But I guess that was a blessing in disguise, seeing as one of the greatest glam metal bands in history was created. Nikki and Tommy then began a search for new members. Sixx and Lee soon met guitarist Bob Deal, a.k.a. Mick Mars. Mars was quickly auditioned and subsequently hired by Sixx and Lee. Although a lead vocalist named Odine was auditioned, Lee had known Vince from their high school days at Charter Oak High School in Covina, California, and the two had performed in different bands on the garage band circuit. On seeing him perform with the band Rock Candy at the Starwood in Hollywood, California, Mars suggested that they have Neil join the band. At first, Neil refused the offer, but as the other members of Rock Candy became involved in outside projects, Neil grew anxious to try something else. When Lee made one final appeal to audition, Tommy Lee, the drummer, Neil, who would eventually become the lead singer, accepted and was hired on April 1st, 1981. The newly formed band did not yet have a name. While trying to find a suitable name, Mars remembered an incident which occurred when he was playing with a band called White Horse, when one of the other members called the group a motley-looking crew. He had remembered the phrase and later copied it down as Motley Crue, spelled M-O-T-T-L-E-Y-C-R-U, and a dash where the E is supposed to be. But after modifying the spelling slightly, Motley Crue, M-O-T-L-E-Y-C-R-U-E, with umlauts, which are those two dots that go over vowels, umlauts over the O in Motley and over the U in Crue, Motley Crue was eventually selected as the band's name, with the stylistic decision suggested by Neil to add the two sets of metal umlauts, supposedly inspired by the German beer Löwenbräu, which the members were drinking at the time. The band soon met their first manager, Alan Kaufman, the 38-year-old brother-in-law of Mick's driver friend, Stick. The band's first release was the single, Stick to Your Guns / Toast of the Town, which was released on their own record label, Leather Records, which had a pressing and distribution deal with Green World Distribution in Torrance, California, in November of 1981. Their debut album, Too Fast for Love, was self-proclaimed and released on Leather, selling 20,000 copies. Kaufman's assistant Eric Greif set up a tour of Canada, while Kaufman and Greif used Motley Crue's success in the Los Angeles club scene to negotiate with several record labels, eventually signing a recording contract with Elektra Records in late spring of 1982. Elektra Records is one of my favorite record companies. They have signed on other bands, including Dokken, which I played for, which is a band I played for you a few weeks ago. At Elektra's insistence, the debut album was then remixed by producer Roy Thomas Baker and re-released on August 20th, 1982, 2 months after its Canadian Warner Music Group release, using the original leather mixes to coincide with the tour. During the Crossing Through Canada tour of 1982, there were several widely publicized incidents. First, the band was arrested and then released at Edmonton International Airport for wearing their spiked stage wardrobe, considered dangerous weapons, bullcrap, through customs, and for Neil arriving with a small carry-on filled with porn magazines, considered indecent material. Both were staged PR stunts. Customs eventually had the confiscated items destroyed. Ah, bummer. I feel for you, Motley Crue. Second, while playing Scandal's Disco in Edmonton, a spurious bomb threat against the band made the front page of the Edmonton Journal. June 9th, 1982, assistant band manager Greif and Lee were interviewed. This, too, ended up being a staged PR stunt perpetually by Greif. Lastly, Lee threw a television set from the upper story window of the Sheraton Caravan Hotel. Canadian rock magazine Music Express noted that the band were banned for life from the city. Despite the tour ending prematurely in financial disaster, it was the basis for the band's first international press. In 1983, the band changed management from Kaufman to Doug Thaler and Doc McGee. McGee is best known for managing Bon Jovi and later Kiss, starting with their reunion tour in 1996. Greif subsequently sued all parties in a Los Angeles Superior Court action that dragged on for several years and coincidentally later resurfaced as manager of Six's former band, London. Kaufman himself was sued by several investors to whom he had sold stock in the band, including Michigan-based Bill Larson. Kaufman eventually declared bankruptcy, as he had mortgaged his home at least three times to cover band expenses. Yikes! Okay, I am going to be playing for you a song next by the band Motley Crue. All right, these guys kick some serious ass. I love them to death. All right. First up, we are going to be having Dr. Feelgood, Big mistake there. I'm going to be playing the single Dr. Feelgood, which was off their 1989 album of the same name, Dr. Feelgood, and was actually released and became six times platinum in the U.S. That means it has sold a lot of records, and it charted number two. No, actually, it charted number one for a while in the U.S. in the Billboard Top 100. All right, without further ado, here is Dr. Feelgood right here on Funk It Up with Dr. J. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s right here on radio.dominican.edu.
Yeah.
And that was Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue off of one of their best-selling albums, Dr. Feelgood, which is of the same name. On that track, believe it or not, other rock legends were there as well on the track, such as Robin Zander, the lead singer for Cheap Trick, as a backup vocalist, and also Sebastian Bach from another band that I really enjoy, Skid Row. All right. I'm just going to talk a little bit more about the band. They actually have a book out called The Dirt, which is kind of an autobiography of the group. I have yet to read it, but it is definitely on my list of books to read. All right. Let's see. All righty then. The band eventually rose to international fame. This lasted from around 1984 to 1991. After playing the U.S. festival and with the aid of the new medium of MTV, that was the days before it sucked, and when it still played music videos, the band found rapid success in the United States. The band members were as well known for their backstage groupie antics, outrageous clothing, extreme high-heeled boots, heavily applied makeup, and seemingly endless abuse of alcohol and drugs as for their recordings. If you ask me, they kind of sound like Kiss. Their mixture of heavy metal and glam rock stylings produced several best-selling albums during the 1980s, including Shout at the Devil, great song, as well as a good album, Theater of Pain, one of my favorite albums by them, which was released in 1985, and Girls, 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 which I am going to be playing for you as well this evening. Also on Theater of Pain was another single called Home Sweet Home, which was a ballad. That is a really great ballad, and I also hope to play it for you tonight. All right. So, those three albums, which showcased their love of motorcycles, whiskey, and strip clubs, and which told tales of substance abuse, sexual escapades, and general decadence. Yep. The band members have also had their share of scrapes with the law and life. In 1984, Neil was driving home from a liquor store when he was in a head-on collision. His passenger, Hanoi Rocks drummer Nicholas Razzle Dingley, was killed. Neil, charged with a DUI and vehicular manslaughter, was sentenced to 30 days in jail, though he only served 18 days, possibly due to good behavior. The band would later release two box sets entitled Music to Crash Your Car To. Oh man. On December 23rd, 1987, Six suffered a near-fatal heroin overdose. He was declared legally dead on the way to the hospital, but the medic, who was a Crue fan, revived Six by giving him two shots of adrenaline to the heart, bringing him back to life. His 2 minutes in death were the inspiration for the song Kickstart My Heart, which peaked at number 16 on the mainstream U.S. chart and was featured on the 1989 album Dr. Feelgood. From 1986 to 1987, Six kept a daily diary of his heroin addiction and eventually entered rehab in January 1988. In 2006, Six published his diaries as the best-selling novel. The Heroin Diaries, A Year in the Life of a Shattered Rock Star. That is a book that I hope to read. And in 2007, Six's side project band, 6AM, released The Heroin Diaries soundtrack as a musical parallel to the novel. That's interesting. Their decadent lifestyles almost shattered the band until managers Thaler and McGee pulled an intervention and refused to allow the band to tour in Europe, fearing that some of them would come back in body bags. Shortly after, all the band members except for Mars underwent drug rehabilitation. Interestingly enough, Mars cleaned up on his own. After finding sobriety in 1989, Motley Crue reached its peak popularity with the release of their fifth album, that Bob Rock produced, Dr. Feelgood, on September 1st, 1989. On October 14th of that year, it became a number one album and stayed on the charts for 109 weeks after its release. 109 weeks. That is more than 2 years. The band members each stated in interviews that due in no small part to their collective push for sobriety, Dr. Feelgood was their most solid album musically to that point, and indeed, it was their best-selling album to date. The title track and Kickstart My Heart were both nominated for Grammys in the Best Hard Rock category. The band did find some success at the American Music Awards, as Dr. Feelgood was nominated twice for Favorite Hard Rock / Metal Award, losing once to Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, which was Guns N' Roses' first studio album. However, Motley Crue won the following year, beating out Aerosmith's Pump and Poison's Flesh and Blood. Motley Crue was also nominated twice for Favorite Hard Rock / Metal Artist. Now, let me just tell you something. Just because they won doesn't mean that Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith, and Poison are bad groups. In fact, they're some of my favorites. In 1989, Doc McGee was fired after breaking several promises that he made to the band in relation to the Moscow Music Peace Festival, including giving his other band, Bon Jovi, advantages with slot placement. Doug Thaler then soldiered on as a solo band manager. On October 14, 1991, the band's first compilation album, Decade of Decadence, was released. It peaked at number 2 on the Billboard 200 album chart. It was reportedly designed as just something for the new fans, while the band worked on the next all-new album. Alright, next I'm going to play you some more music from Motley Crue, so stick around, kick back, and enjoy the music here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, playing some of your favorite music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Here is some more Motley Crue for you all. Okay, let's do this. Woo! Oh, and by the way, shout out to the guy who revived Tommy Lee. You rock, dude. If you're listening, good job. You are a true Crue fan. All right. Here's Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue, which is inspired by the revival of Tommy Lee in that ambulance those many years ago.
Yeah.
was Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. Okay, it is currently 5:30. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the news before we continue with some sheer awesomely good music. Now, as many of you may know, as much as I hate to say it, but the world's economy is in the crapper right now. You guys probably all know this, but in Oakland, which is not too far away from here, the police have been firing tear gas into protesting crowds as part of the Occupy Wall Street protests that have been happening around the country, including states such as California and Georgia. All right. Authorities made a series of arrests at the Occupy Wall Street protests in California and Georgia on Tuesday and Wednesday, with clashes in one city that involved tear gas being used on demonstrators. That city being Oakland, California, which, like I said, is not too far away from here. Police say they fired tear gas on protesters in Oakland, California, after the crowd threw paint and other objects at officers. You know what? Honestly, I don't believe it. Listen, Oakland police, just admit that you made a mistake by tear gassing the crowd. You know, this is kind of what democracy looks like, and that's democracy is basically what this country was founded on. I mean, don't we have a right to free speech? I mean, if the crowd was throwing paint and other objects at you guys, I can understand that that's sort of crossing the line, but still, I highly doubt that. Anyway, among those injured in the clash was a two-time Iraq War veteran, Scott Olson, who sustained a skull fracture after allegedly being shot in the head with a police projectile, according to the Iraq Veterans Against the War. Olson, a former Marine, was in serious but stable condition Wednesday afternoon at Highland General Hospital in Oakland, said Dottie Guy, a member of the veterans group who told CNN by phone that she was visiting Olson at the hospital. Among a growing number of war vets participating in the Occupy movement, Olson was peacefully marching from a downtown library toward City Hall in an effort to reclaim an encampment that had been cleared out by the police, the veterans group said. During Tuesday's clash in Oakland, plumes of smoke could be seen in the city as about 500 people defied calls to leave an area of downtown Oakland, according to police. Protesters had camped for weeks in several areas in the city, including near City Hall, police said. The city remains committed to respecting free speech as well as maintaining the city's responsibility to protect public health and safety, Oakland police said in a statement. Honestly, I just hope that the economy gets fixed soon. I mean, I know things look kind of bleak, but you know what? When there's a will, there's a way. All right. Here's something a little more cheerful. Some more Motley Crue for you guys to listen to. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite music, rock music, from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Right here on radio.dominican.edu. Here is Wild Side by Motley Crue.
Ah!
And that was Wild Side by Motley Crue off their 1987 album, Girls, 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 which I am going to be playing for you next. Okay. So, a little bit more about the band. They actually had some years of turmoil, believe it or not. From 1992 to around 2003. After Decade of Decadence was released, their 1991 album, Neil left the band in February 1992 at a time when other bands in the 80s glam metal scene, such as Rat, Striper, White Lion, Winger, Europe, and Britney Fox, also broke up because of the rise in popularity of grunge slash punk revival. So, grunge bands such as Nirvana, punk bands such as Green Day. I mean, those are good bands, don't get me wrong, but it was kind of sad to see the glam scene kind of dissipate. It's like one of my favorite scenes, but I'm not too depressed because, well, I wasn't around during that time. Anyway, a controversy exists to this day over whether Neil was fired or quit. Nikki Sixx, the bass player, has long maintained that Neil quit the band. However, Neil disputes this and insists that he was fired. Neil was temporarily replaced by John Corabi, formerly of the bands Angora and The Scream. Motley Crue's commercial success waned through the 90s, although their self-titled March 1994 release made the Billboard Top 10 at number 7. Pardon me for that little slip-up. Thaler would manage the band alone until 1994, at which time the band did a mass firing when their album Motley Crue failed to meet commercial expectations. The band reunited with all of their original members, including Vince Neil, in 1997 after their current manager, Alan Kovac, and Neil's manager, Bert Stein, set up a meeting between Neil, Lee, and Sixx, agreeing to leave their egos at the door. The band released Generation Swine. Although it debuted at number 4 and in spite of a live performance at the American Music Awards, the album was a commercial failure due in part to the band's label's lack of support. The band soon left Elektra and created their own label, Motley Records. Cool. In 1998, Motley Crue's contractual ties with Elektra Records had expired, putting the band in total control of their future. This included the ownership of the masters of all of their albums. Including the end of their relationship with Elektra Records, the band became one of the few groups in history to own and control their publishing and catalog of recorded masters. In 1999, the band re-released all of their albums dubbed as Crucial Crue. The limited edition digital remasters included demos, live instrumentals, and previously unreleased tracks. In 1999, Lee put his role in the band on hold to pursue a solo career due to increasing tension with frontman Neil. He was replaced by drummer Randy Castillo, who drummed on several Ozzy Osbourne albums. However, Randy died of cancer on March 26, 2002. No replacement had been named, which sent the band into hiatus following a 2000 tour in support of their studio release, New Tattoo. New Tattoo charted at number 41 and sold fewer than 200,000 copies. Former Hole drummer Samantha Maloney filled in on the tour to promote the album, the Salt Lake City performance of the tour. The Salt Lake City performance of the tour, New Tattoo, is featured on the DVD Lewd, Crude, and Tattooed. Within the following years, Sixx played in the bands 58 and Brides of Destruction, while Lee formed Methods of Mayhem and performed as a solo artist. Neil continued touring on an annual basis as a solo artist, singing mostly Motley Crue songs. Mars, who suffers from a rare hereditary form of arthritis known as ankylosing spondylitis, if I read that right, went into seclusion in 2001. From what I've heard, he is still playing with the band. However, that rare hereditary form of arthritis that I just mentioned, it's actually kind of nasty. It's actually caused him not to grow, but to actually shrink. It's actually caused some bone and spinal damage. I just hope that he continues to make music and will be able to deal with this illness. Really sucks if you ask me. And in 2001, an autobiography entitled The Dirt, which I mentioned to you earlier in the show, packaged the band as the world's most notorious rock band. The book made the top 10 on the New York Times bestseller and spent 10 weeks there. All right. I'm going to play for you some more Motley Crue right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite music, rock music, from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Here is some more Motley Crue for you right here on radio.dominican.edu. Here's Girls, Girls, Girls.
Ooh.
was Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue off of their album of the same name, which was released in 1987. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, playing some of your favorite rock music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, right here on radio.dominican.edu. All right, a little bit more information on Motley Crue. Motley Crue's ninth studio album, titled Saints of Los Angeles, was released in Japan on June 17, 2008, and in America on June 24, 2008. The album was originally titled The Dirt, as it was loosely based on the band's autobiography of the same name, but the title was later changed. Saints of Los Angeles features the band's original lineup. In the U.S., the album was released by 117 Music. 117 also took over U.S. distributions of their back catalog. Motley Crue had announced that the movie The Dirt, based on the book written by Motley Crue and Neil Strauss, might be released in 2009. But since it's 2011, I'm sure you can all realize that that didn't happen. And as I was saying, however, as of September 2009, the Internet Movie Database lists 2011 as a possible release date. However, this is still subject to change, particularly because the status of the movie was listed as unknown in April 2009, the date of Internet Movie Database's last update to The Dirt, April 2009. iTunes picked up Saints of Los Angeles in their Best of 2008 in the Rock category as the number one song. The song was also nominated for a Grammy Award in the Best Hard Rock Performance category. The song was released in the music game series Rock Band as downloadable content the day the single was released. Additionally, the entire Dr. Feelgood album was released as downloadable content in Rock Band as well, excluding the song TNT, or Terror in Tinseltown. Well, some more information. In 2010, Tommy Lee announced that there would not be a Crue Fest 3. Crue Fest is a concert that features a bunch of glam bands, such as Motley Crue themselves, Poison, and others, Rat. And there was also a Crue Fest and a Crue Fest 2. But it doesn't look like there's going to be a Crue Fest 3, or at least not for some time. Well, of course, 2010's over, so yeah. Instead, the band would work on new material and is actually expected to tour Crue Fest 3 in the summer of 2011. Well, you know what? That didn't happen. Because, it's almost 2012. However, the band headlined Ozzfest in 2010 along with Ozzy Osbourne and Judas Priest lead singer Rob Halford. And it has been announced that Motley Crue will tour with Poison and special guest New York Dolls in 2011 for Motley Crue's 30th anniversary and Poison's 25th anniversary. All right, we got some more music coming up for you. We're almost out of time, but we have The Blackout with Special K and J-Lit coming up next. All right, here's some more Motley Crue for you right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, playing some of your favorite rock music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s right here on radio.dominican.edu. Okay, here we go. Here is Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue.
Dreamer, but my heart's a gold. I had to run away high so I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went right, it doesn't mean they were always wrong. Just take this song and you'll never be left all alone. Take me to your heart, feel me in your bones. Just one more night, and I'm coming on this long and winding road. Oh,
And that was Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue. All right, I'm going to be playing just one more song before I leave tonight and hand over the mic to Jay Litt and Special K of the Blackout, but it is a really good song, and it is going to be our only non-Motley Crue song for the evening. Here is To Be With You by Mr. Big, right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, here's Mr. Big with To Be With You.
Hold on, little girl. Show me what he's done to you. Stand up, little girl. A broken heart can't be that bad. When it's through, it's through. Fate would twist of both of you. So come on, baby, come on over. Let me be the one to show you.
I'm the one who wants to be with you. Deep inside, I hope you.
Can make my life worthwhile. I can make you start to